What is an influencer? Are you one? Are you trying to be one? Even if you don't identify yourself as an influencer, to grow your ministry or business, you need to be able to influence people. So let's learn how to ask for what we want, get people to say yes, and while we're at it, we'll peek in on an OG influencer in the Bible. Hey friend, welcome to Just One Simple Thing, the podcast where we find the intersection of practical solutions, biblical truth, and creativity as you lead in ministry and business. In order to make an impact, you have to take action even when you aren't 100% sure what God is up to. If you're tired of trying all the things and ready to do a new thing, this is the place for you. I'm your host, Krista Hutchins, a project manager, coach, wife, mom, encourager, and friend. In each episode, we tackle a specific issue keeping you stuck as you chase after your God dream and give you just one simple thing to help bring clarity to your swirl of creative ideas. Now, let's go solve a problem. Hey, hey, you guys, we are back for episode 106 of Just One Simple Thing. We're in our Next Step series. Maybe you've taken those first steps to establish your ministry or business, and you're looking for the thing that'll push you to the next level. Once you have the basics down, it becomes less about learning all the things and more about the behaviors and the way you operate to grow. That's what we're covering in this series. Back in episode 105, we talked about making connections even if you're an introvert. And in this episode, we'll look at influencing, getting people to do what we want them to do, whether that's signing up for your opt-in, scheduling a call with you, or booking you as a guest on their podcast. It all comes down to the way you ask, to ask in a way that makes people want to say yes. Here's four ways to do that. And as a side note, you don't need to use all of these in every ask, but definitely keep them in mind. Number one, make it personal. And by personal, I don't mean necessarily that it has to be all touchy and feely, but your ask should show that you understand the person and what they need. A couple of weeks ago, I shared a screenshot of an email pitch I received from someone who wanted to do a guest post on my site. Y'all, it was insane. The subject line was, "Big fan of your site." Okay, that's a good start. But the body of the email said, "I first got hooked by reading your most recent blog post. I've got a site that focuses specifically on car audio stereo, and I'm trying to get my name out there as best I can. I had a couple of ideas for guest posts that I thought might be a really good fit for your site." And she went on to describe some blog posts about mono versus stereo, alarms, and how much it all costs. I promise I'm not making this up. That obviously has nothing to do with anything on my blog or related to my content. I'm not sure who's telling people to send out useless emails like this, but it's a complete waste of time. But even pitches that are a little more on topic still miss the mark. I've had tons of pitches to be a guest on my podcast when anyone who looks at my podcast page would know that all of my episodes are solo. So before you make your ask, make sure it's something the person you're asking needs, and that your ask incorporates some of the language they use themselves to describe their need. Okay, number two, make it direct. This is one of the biggest mistakes we make. We hem and haw around the subject, and even when we talk about the benefits of what we're offering, our tone and body language are apologizing for even asking. A clear and direct ask lets people know your offer should be considered seriously. One of the OG influencers in the Bible is Lydia, and she was great at this. After she hears Paul speak at a river outside Philippi, She urged Paul and his team to stay at her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. That's Acts 16:15. When I looked up the words in this verse, they made me laugh. The word urged is not a casual ask. It meant summoned, called for, entreaty, exhorted. And the word for persuaded? It means to employ force or constrain by entreaties. The girl was not giving up. She made a strong, confident ask and didn't apologize for it. Number 3, make it easy. How many times have you wanted to buy something or sign up for something, but gave up because you couldn't find the right button, or the form was too long, or the payment process required you to get up off your couch and go get the credit card out of your wallet? That can't be only me, can it? We often unintentionally put up barriers that keep people from saying yes. Now, there's some value in people having to work a little bit for something they want. But they shouldn't have to work hard to sign up for your email newsletter or to purchase something after they've decided they want it. Take a look through your processes and make sure nothing is unnecessarily complicated. Is your opt-in form asking for last name as well as first name? Are there so many questions on your discovery call scheduling form that people hit quit before they submit? How many processes can you simplify to remove the yes barriers? And finally, make it worth it. In addition to making the benefits of the ask clear and compelling, a little incentive can go a long way. It doesn't have to be huge. I'm always amazed at what people will do just for the chance to win a $5 Starbucks card. So if you're asking people to complete a survey or sign up for a free workshop, offer a small giveaway or random drawing. If your ask is for a partnership or collaboration opportunity, help the other person visualize both the unique long-term and short-term benefits you're offering to them and the people they serve. If it's worth it, they'll say yes. Going to the next level in your business or ministry will take a lot of yeses. But if you can make it personal, make it direct, make it easy, and make it worth it, you'll get all the yeses you need to meet your goals. Now, for your one simple action step, look at the next ask you need to make. How can you apply just one of these principles to improve the likelihood of a yes? Well, we're halfway through our series on next steps. In the next episode, we'll talk about right-sizing that step into something that's doable to reduce overwhelm and confusion. I hope you'll join me then. And if these episodes have been helpful to you, I'd really appreciate it if you could leave a rating and review wherever you listen. Before we run off, let's do a little check-in. Here we are near the end of another month. Did it get away from you again with little progress on your goals and plans? Do you need help figuring out where to focus, but you aren't ready to invest in one-on-one coaching? Then I have just the thing for you. The most cost-effective way to get the benefits of expert input on your goals and plans. With a Move Forward review, you can submit your plans for the month. I'll take a look and make sure your plan is aligned with your goals, that it's doable, and that it's structured in a sequence that makes sense. Then I'll email you my feedback along with resource recommendations for areas where you may be stuck, and perhaps a little tough grace if you need it, just like I give in my one-on-one coaching calls. Y'all, I'm just being honest here. This is the biggest bang for the buck of all my products and services. If you've ever wanted an affordable and time-efficient way to benefit from my project management experience, this is it. You can get all the details at the link in the show notes.
And remember, clarity comes from action, and action can be just one simple thing.